no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Chester, do you have to do that? You're just stirring up a lot of dust.
Well, cleanliness is next to godliness, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know, Chester, but all you're doing is getting it off the floor into the air. Man can hardly breathe in here.
All right, Mr. Dillon. I'll do my sweeping later.
Yeah, good.
My mother taught me that, Mr. Dillon.
Taught you what, Chester?
That cleanliness is next to godliness. She was a fine woman, too.
Oh, look, Chester, it's a good saying, and it's probably true, and I got nothing against your mother except that she also should have taught you how to sweep.
Well, maybe she just didn't have the time, Mr. Dillon. You see, there was an awful lot of us, and what with chores
Madge.
And...
Oh, hello, Doc.
Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
What?
Doc said he'd buy you a drink, Mr. Dillon.
He really said that?
You coming?
Doc, you got to quit throwing your money around the way you do.
Maybe you don't need a drink.
No, wait a minute, Doc. I'm with you. I'll tell you all about it when I get back, Chester.
I'd be mighty interested, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, I'll sure be glad when it gets winter again.
Why, Doc? You'll just complain about the cold, then.
I suppose. You go sit with Kitty, Matt. I'll bring a bottle of Irish.
Okay, Doc. Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Matt. What are you and Doc up to?
Yeah, he wants someone to talk to, so he picked me. And you.
Fine. I'm a good listener. Lots of practice.
You like Jameson's, don't you, Kitty?
Sure, Doc. What are we celebrating?
Let's see here. We'll drink to a fella that you don't know.
Huh?
Cain Vestal.
Well, here's to him.
Yeah.
Here's to him. Yes, he'll be dead in a couple of months.
What?
That's what I told him.
What do you mean, Doc?
Well, I'm not the only one who's told him that. I'm just the last.
Well, who is this Cain Vestal, Doc?
Oh, he's just a fella. Came in on the train last night, leaving for Arizona tomorrow.
Huh?
That's where he's going to die, in Arizona. He's a musician. He plays the guitar, he tells me.
Well, how's he going to die?
Consumption. He's got it bad. I'm the last doctor he's going to ask about it, he says.
Poor fella.
Yes, climate out there, keep him going for a little while longer. And, I don't know. He's such a sad man for some reason.
Well, who wouldn't be, Doc?
No, Kitty. I think Kane's been sad for a long, long time. He's a very nice fellow, too.
Nothing can help him, huh?
No, nothing.
You know, it's a funny thing, Doc. I'm just sitting here thinking. Sometimes you have to tell men they're going to die. Sometimes I have to.
Yeah, that's right. See that fellow with the car there? He just came in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he knows anyone around here. You mind if I ask him over?
Sure. You'd party, Doc.
Oh, good. Kane? Kane? Over here? Yeah. sit down. Sit down. Kane, this is Kitty.
Hello, Kane.
This is Kitty. This is Marshall Dillon.
Hello, Marshall.
Pleasure to meet you.
He's doing it, yeah. There we are. Have a drink.
Well, thank you, Doc.
Is your first trip west, Kane?
Yes, Marshall, it is.
Well, where are you from?
No place in particular, Miss Kitty. I seem to spend most of my life on the Mississippi River.
I thought you were a musician.
I am. I was hired to ride the river boats and play my guitar for the passengers.
Oh.
Well, at least you've had a constant change of scenery.
Yeah.
After 20 years of going up and down that river, it got pretty familiar, Marshal.
Well, Kane, I knew a young fella back in St. Louis before the war, and he was learning to be a river pilot. Say, I wonder if you ever ran into him. Name of Clemens, Sam Clemens?
No, Doc, I don't believe I did.
Oh, he was a very amusing fella. He was just chock full of stories.
You leaving Dodge tomorrow, Kane?
I'm headed for Arizona, Miss Kitty. No reflection on Dodge, though.
If you hit a place out there called Tombstone, I wish you'd look up Virgil Earp for me. Tell him I sent you, huh?
Thanks, Marshal. I'll do that.
Say, Kane, I wonder, could I ask you a favor?
Why, certainly, Miss Kitty. Anything at all.
Well, would you play something for us?
I had an idea that's what it'd be. Anything in particular?
Oh, play something you like, Kane.
Another girl I knew used to like this one.
Nice.
Miss Kitty.
I wish you were going to stay here a while. Maybe you could teach me to play like that, huh?
It'd be a pleasure, Miss Kitty. But I'm afraid I won't be around for long.
Morning, Mr. Dillon.
It's noon, Chester.
Yes, sir, I know, but you went off with Doc yesterday, so I figured I had a little time coming today.
Well, that depends on how you spent it. Now, if you've been gambling,
oh,
I am...
Now, Mr. Dillon, you know I never gamble. No, sirree. I was out helping a fellow learn to shoot a six-gun, that's all.
Now? You mean there's a man in Dodge who doesn't know how?
This fellow don't. Never had one in his hand before. He's a musician.
What?
Plays the guitar, he told me.
You mean Kane? Kane Vestal?
Yeah, sir, that's his name. Nice a fellow you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, but he was supposed to leave on the stage this morning. And what's he done with his six-gun anyway?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Dillon. He just come by here early this morning and asked me if I'd teach him.
Yeah. Now, where'd he get the gun?
Said he'd just bought it. Anything wrong, Mr. Dillon?
No. It just doesn't add up somehow, that's all.
Oh, well, he won't cause any trouble. He's not the sort.
You never know, Chester.
No, sir. My Kitty looks pretty this morning. She's got a yellow parasol, Mr. Dillon.
Kitty? Oh, I think I'll go see her for a minute. I'll be right back, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Kitty?
Hello, Matt.
Kitty, I'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Well, sure. What is it?
I'm curious about something, Kitty. Maybe you can help me.
Maybe.
How long was Kane Vestal with you yesterday?
Kane? Oh, well, he didn't leave till evening. Why?
Well, he didn't go out on the stage this morning, and he's bought himself a six-gun. You any idea why?
A gun?
Huh?
Doesn't sound like Kane.
Anything happened yesterday, Kitty, or did he tell you anything?
Oh, yeah, there was one thing, Matt. Joel Adams and a couple of his men came in.
Yeah?
Kane got pretty upset when he saw him had a bad coughing spell.
Oh?
Later, he asked a lot of questions about Adams.
Well, what'd you tell him?
Just that Adams is a big landowner around here, that nobody who isn't working for him likes him very much. That's all I know, anyway.
Yeah. They didn't talk. Adams and Kane.
No. I don't think they even know each other.
Well, anyway, he sure isn't the sort to be packing a gun.
Well, you'll just get into trouble, Matt.
Yeah. Where's he staying, do you say?
Dodge House, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Kitty. I'll see you later. Kane.
Why, Marshal Dillon. Come in.
Thank you.
What can I do for you, Marshal?
I thought you were leaving Dodge on the stage this morning.
Well, I was, Marshal, but I changed my mind. You know how it is.
Sure, Kane, sure. Now, we're glad to have you around. I'm just curious, though. Your staying have anything to do with that gun you bought this morning?
Oh, Chester told you. I thought he would. He's a good teacher, Marshal.
Yeah. But that doesn't answer my question.
Do I have to answer it?
I'm just trying to help you, that's all.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marshal, but I'm afraid there's nothing you can do.
Look, Kane, you're new in this country. A man like you just can't pick up a six-gun and call himself a fighting man. Not and expect to live through it.
I certainly lay no claim to be a fighting man.
Then why did you buy that gun?
There's no law out here against a man having a gun, is there, Marshal?
No. But any man who carries one is expected to use it when the time comes. You'd be a lot safer without one.
Being safe doesn't mean a whole lot to me, Marshal. Not now.
Yeah, I know. Doc told me.
What's it all about?
It's a long story. And an old one, I suppose. I'd really rather not talk about it.
I can't force you to. But tell me this. Does it have anything to do with Joel Adams?
Yes, it does, Marshal. I'm gonna kill him.
When?
I don't know. Anytime.
Well, why?
That's a long story, I imagine.
All right, Kane. But if you try to face him, he'll kill you before you got that gun halfway out of your belt. And if you shoot him any other way, you'll hang for it.
You've forgotten something, Marshal.
What?
No matter what I do, I'm going to die soon anyway. A month or two isn't going to make any difference.
You hate Adams that much?
I wouldn't kill a man I didn't hate, would I?
I didn't think you were the sort of man who'd kill anyone.
Only Joel Adams, Marshal.
Then I got to warn him about you.
Well, I understand, Marshal. It's all right. He doesn't know me anyway. Never even saw me before.
But you want to kill him?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll take your gun away from you, but you'll just find another one. And I can't arrest you unless I catch you trying to bushwhack him.
I'm sorry for the trouble I'm causing you, Marshal.
You know, I've never had to deal with a man like you before, Kane. Maybe I ought to just tie you up and throw you on that stage.
You could. But I'd just come right back.
Yeah, I guess you would.
I'm sorry this has to happen here in Dodge, Marshal.
Then why don't you leave?
I guess I hate Joel Adams too much.
All right, Kane, I'm through trying to convince you. So long.
Goodbye, Marshal.
Kane Vestal, Marshal, and I never saw him before last night.
You must have known him somewhere, Adams.
You're trying to make me out a liar, Marshal.
I'm trying to save Kane's life and yours, maybe.
Oh, he ain't gonna shoot me. I'll kill him first time he looks sideways.
Maybe you won't see him.
Oh? Shoot me in the back, eh? Well, in that case...
In that case, what?
Why, nothing, Dylan, nothing. Forget it.
If Kane's shot in the back, you'll be the first man I'd take in, Adams.
I don't even know him. Why should I shoot him?
I'm only warning you.
Well, just leave me be, Marshal. I can take care of myself.
See that you do, Adams, and only yourself.
Why, sure, Marshal. Only I don't much like the idea of some stranger gunning for me. Makes me sort of uneasy.
There must be some reason for it.
Don't start it again, Marshal. There ain't no reason.
I know. You've led a blameless life. You never hurt anyone.
I told you twice.
There are men around here who'd shoot you on sight if they thought they could get by with it. I don't think you were ever any good, Adam, so don't tell me Kane's got no reason. I don't believe it.
You're pushing me now, Marshal.
I'm tired of your talk, that's all. Maybe it's true you don't know him, but he sure knows something about you.
Well, then he'll wish he didn't. That's all I got to say.
Well, just keep out of his way. Give it a little time, and maybe there won't be any killing at all.
Why, sure, sure. All the time in the world.
All right, Adams. I've done all I can.
Just don't worry about me.
I'm not.
Then goodbye, Marshal.
Goodbye.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first... Back tomorrow night. Pull up your chair, or better still, roll back your rug. It's the Vaughn Monroe Show returning to the Star's Address. Listen for Vaughn, the Moon Maids, the Moon Men, and their wonderful way with popular music and songs. Once again at their old familiar Saturday night time on CBS Radio. Remember, they're coming back tomorrow night. You and the whole family are invited to this season's scintillating premiere of the Vaughn Monroe Show on most of these same stations. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
Thank you.
town tonight, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. There's a trail herd due in a couple of days. I suppose business will pick up then.
Mm-hmm. You'd think those cowboys be too tuckered out after a ride like that to have any juice left in them at all, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, they're too poor to cut loose any other time.
Well, that don't stop them down in Texas, Mr. Dillon.
No?
No. It's just like an uncle of mine back in Waco. He was poor, oh, he was mean poor. But he always said the only good money was to have fun with.
Oh, did he have fun?
But no, sir. He was too poor, like I said.
All right, Chester, all right. All I ask is that you don't try to explain it to me.
Well, but there's nothing to explain, Mr. Dillon. It's just that he was one poorest
Chester.
Man you'd ever...
Marshal, say, you want to talk to Kane Vestal?
What?
Kane is upstairs in my office.
He been shot?
No, not shot. Beat up.
Well, how is he, Doc?
Well, he's not too bad. A couple of cowboys found him just outside of town. They heard a shot and said two men rode off before they could stop them.
Yeah?
And I guess whoever it was, they didn't have time to finish the job. They just got started working on him.
So Adams made the first move, huh? I'll be back soon, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
They hit him on the head with a gun butt and scratched him up some. Outside of that, he's fine.
That's still a Saul, even if they didn't kill him, Doc.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Anyway, they took a shot at him when they heard those riders coming along. Went right through his coat.
Yeah. They probably think he's dead.
So that's where you went, Doc. I might have known.
Didn't even give you a chance to use that gun, did he, Kane?
I didn't have a gun on me, Marshal, but it wasn't he. It was they.
Huh? Do you recognize them?
Well, I don't know many people around here.
You know Joel Adams, so you told me.
It wasn't Adam.
Could you pick him out if you saw him again?
No, Marshal, I don't believe I could.
Where were you when they grabbed you, Kane?
End of Front Street. I was taking a walk after supper. They rode up behind me, one on each side, lifted me up, and carried me out of town a ways.
You must have got a good look at them, at least when they got off their horses.
It was too dark, Marshal.
Yeah. Doc, how long has he been here?
Oh, about half an hour, Marshal.
Those cowboys who saw you, Kane, they brought you right in here, didn't they?
Yes.
So it was maybe an hour ago when those two men hauled you out of town? It was plenty light enough then.
Was it, Marshal?
You're going to fight it yourself, aren't you?
Yes, Marshal. It's my affair.
It was, Kane, but you've been assaulted and shot at, so it's the law's business now.
I won't prefer any charges, Marshal.
You don't have to. I've seen you, and I know who did it, or who hired it done, as well as you do.
Please, Marshal. I got to handle this my own way.
There's a law that says you can't murder a man, Kane, and the same law says he can't murder you. Are you so full of hate you can't get that through your head?
I guess that's it, Marshal.
All right, Kane. You do what you have to do, so will I. Hello, Adams. I've been looking for you.
That's late, Dillon. Can't you see me tomorrow?
It's not even midnight. That's early for you.
You see how this marshal's always trying to get me on the prod, boys?
That's right.
These boys of yours play pretty rough themselves, Adams.
Meaning?
Didn't they tell you?
Tell me what?
What they did to Kane Vestal?
They did not kill Kane Vestal, and you can't prove it.
No, Adams, I can't. Kane isn't even dead.
What?
You know, I'm curious, Adams. Why'd you think he might be?
Why, somebody said he got himself hurt.
Joel Adams.
You arranged this, Marshal?
You know I didn't.
Who is he? What does he want?
Hello, Joel Adams. Don't strain yourself so you don't know me.
Who are you?
Kane Vestal. But my name doesn't matter.
What are you haunting me for? I never saw you before in my life.
That's true. You didn't. But we had a friend in common once.
A friend? Who?
Julie Travis.
What about Julie?
You were a riverboat gambler then, Adams, and you had money and fine clothes and a way with women, especially young girls. Julie was only 16 at the time.
Never mind all that.
So she went away with you to be married, you told her.
Oh. I think I guessed the rest. You wanted to marry her, but I got her instead. Is that it?
That's it, Adams. That's exactly it.
Oh, now I thought you really had something on your mind, Vestal. Well, all right, why don't you get out of here and quit bothering people while you can still walk?
Julie killed herself, Adam. She committed suicide.
What?
You didn't know that, did you?
Well, it's got nothing to do with me.
Because you never married her after all. It was just a year after you abandoned her in New Orleans. I think it has a lot to do with you, Joel Adams.
What are your plans, mister? I see you got a gun in your belt.
Gonna kill you.
Oh, so? When?
Now. Right now.
All right, Vestal, draw.
Leave the gun where it is, Kane.
One thing I always promised myself, Adams. Someday I'd spit in your face.
Why, you...
Give me the gun, Adams. He's dead.
Well, he was going to kill me. You heard him.
He wanted you dead, Adams, any way he could manage.
I know it. That's what I say.
You're under arrest for murder.
For... What? It was a gunfight.
Kane never even moved for his gun.
Well, then I'll hang for this. He couldn't have got me any other way.
No, don't suppose he could have.
I remember the river gamblers used to say, don't matter how you win, so long as you win. That Kane should have been a gambler.
Maybe he was. Come on, let's go.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, with Georgia Ellis and Larry Dobkin. Parley Bayer is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc. Clancy Cassell speaking. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Both back this Sunday night. Edgar Bergen and Company and Eve Arden is our Miss Brooks. Yes, it's the Bergen and McCarthy Show with Mortimer Snerd, Podine Puffington, Effie Clinker, Ray Noble's Orchestra, and guest stars. Back Sunday nights at the Star's Address starting this weekend. Returning the same night is our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden as an English teacher ever seeking her special degree in romance. For comedy galore, enjoy Bergen and McCarthy and our Miss Brooks on most of these same stations. Back this Sunday night, presented by CBS Radio.
This is Amos, but my real name is Freeman Gosden. I urge you to vote. And as Amos would say, follow the election returns on the CBS Radio Network.
Roma Wine presents
Suspense.
Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wine toasts the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you two of Hollywood's favorite screen stars, Miss Virginia Bruce and Mr. Alan Jocelyn, with the noted character actor George Zucco. Our suspense play, which is produced and directed by William Spear, presents a rather neat problem. That of a crime committed while no criminal was present. And so, with a locked room and with the performance of Virginia Bruce as an exceedingly bright young lady named Iris Lane, of Alan Jocelyn as an exceedingly shy young man named Harold Mills, and of George Zucco as the exceedingly polished Dr. Woodhull, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Hello, Mr. Seaton's residence. Who's calling? No, Mr. Seaton is not in. No, there will not be any statement for the papers. Harold, will you get that? Hello, no, I can't tell you anything about
Seaton's residence.
No.
No, there will be absolutely no statement.
Here we go again.
If you wish, only you are wasting
Seaton's
your
residence.
Time.
Look, I told
Very
you this
well.
Morning there wouldn't be any statement
Good
for
night.
The newspapers. No, not tomorrow
oh,
either.
Dear.
I'm sorry, I'm awfully busy right now. I said I was busy. Busy. What a day.
It's rather disturbing how quickly the reporters got wind of it. I do hope no harm's been done.
Well, we did our best. It's too big a deal to keep secret anyway. There are always rumors, and it's the business of newspapers to pick up rumors.
Dear me, I wonder how he's going to take it.
The old man? He probably won't be tickled pink. You know how he is.
I know I'll be relieved when he has it under lock and key, my word. Oh, good evening, Mr. Seaton.
Evening, Harold. Lane, you two still working?
No, we thought we'd stick around until you got here.
Oh, I'm sorry I was so late.
The newspapers have been calling, Mr. Seaton.
The newspapers? How in blazes
We
did
told
they...
them there wouldn't be any statement.
Oh, I should hope not. How do you suppose...
Then it's not finished?
Oh, no, the deal's closed. Have it with me, as a matter of fact.
With you, sir?
You've been carrying it around in your pocket?
You see why I don't feel so good about the newspapers. But at least I got it home all right. Like to see it?
Oh, yes.
Doesn't look like much wrapped up like this. Well, there it is. Like it?
The Lavella diamond.
What a beauty.
It's enormous.
Yes, but tomorrow we start to cut it. And within a year, it'll be just so many engagement rings.
You know, I hate to see it changed. It's so beautiful the way it is.
Oh, there's no money in it for me this way.
Oh, Dr. Woodhull called. He wants to give you a checkup if he can catch it before dinner.
No, Dr. Woodhull, an old woman. Treats me like an invalid. Oh, well, anything else?
Nothing important. Oh, Harold, will you answer?
Yes, certainly. Mr. Seaton's residence. Who's calling, please? Just a moment. Mr. Seaton, Van Houten.
Van Houten?
Yes, he wants to speak to you.
Oh, tell him I'm out of town.
Mr. Van Houten, Mr. Seaton's out of town. Well, dear me, you can think what you like, but Mr. Seaton is not here. Goodbye.
Well, God, what did he say?
He said he has information that you are here, and he insists on coming up here now. It sounds most disagreeable.
Well, I don't think he's likely to show up. If he does, don't let him in.
All right, Mr. Seaton.
I'll be in my study until Woodhull gets here.
But don't forget your medicine, Mr. Seaton. I put it right beside the seltzer bottle.
Oh, I won't forget.
I hope Dr. Woodhull hurries. I'm dead.
I'm sure you must be. Mr. Seaton seemed awfully proud of his new stone, didn't he?
I thought he was cool as a cucumber. How would you feel if you just bought the biggest diamond in the world?
Oh, the second biggest, I believe, Iris. Not that that's anything to belittle.
What do you suppose he paid for it?
I understand the price was something under $1 million, but he expects to get back over $1.5 million once it's cut and polished.
Harold, putting that kind of money into a piece of stone, I know if I had $1 million, I'd never buy diamonds.
Dear me, for that matter, neither would I. But for some people, diamonds take the place of other things, power, love. What would you do if you had $1 million?
I don't know. There are a lot of swell people I'd like to help out. Then I'd like to travel. Oh, there are lots of things. What would you do?
You really want to know?
Of course I do.
I don't think I should say this, but if I had $1 million or even much less, I'd ask you to marry me.
Why, Harold...
No, please, I don't want you to say anything. You don't have to. I know I'm not the sort for you, really. I'm not like Dr. Woodhull, you know, sure of myself.
Well, it's not that, Harold. Honestly, it's just that you never said anything before. You never even... What was that?
It sounded as if it came from the study. Mr. Seaton? Mr. Seaton, is anything wrong?
He doesn't answer.
Mr. Seaton!
The door's locked.
Yes, have you your key, Iris?
It's right here.
Mr. Seaton! Mr. Seaton... Why, where is he?
There he is, on the floor. What happened to him? Is it sick?
Wait, I'll see. Oh, goodness.
Put him on the couch.
Just a minute, Iris. I don't think you'd better look. He's badly injured.
Injured? But how?
It's his head. Get a doctor, will you?
A doctor?
Someone's tried to kill him. Hurry.
To kill him? All right.
Try Dr. Woodall. Maybe he hasn't left.
I will. Operator, get me granite 6-9-700.
Well, good evening, Iris.
Oh, Dr. Woodall. Never mind, operator. Come on, doctor. I was just calling you.
Is something wrong?
Mr. Seaton, he's hurt. Someone tried to... Harold, Dr. Woodall was just coming in.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you're here, doctor.
What's the matter with Seaton?
I think someone tried to kill him. It's his head. You can see the blood. I found this under him.
What's that?
That seems to be a piece of broom handle filled with lead. Evidently, he was struck with it.
Concussion. Nasty. Still some pulse. I just hand him my bag.
Here you are.
And you'd better call the police.
The police?
Certainly. This is attempted murder.
Oh, dear.
Good evening. Did I hear somebody say murder?
Who are you?
My name is Van Houten. I telephoned a little while ago.
How did you get in?
Well, I rang. No one answered, so I walked in. I wish to speak with Mr. Seaton, but I see that perhaps I'm a little too late, eh?
Perhaps you knew you'd be a little too late, Mr. Van Houten.
Harold, I think we'd better leave that to the police. Will you call them?
I can't figure out how it happened. Harold, you and I have been outside that door all day. I know there wasn't anyone in this room.
Iris, it must have been the windows.
What do you mean the windows? No one could climb.
You see, look, there's a ladder still there. And it took us some time to open the door.
There is a ladder.
Oh, yes, yeah, a very convenient ladder.
Oh, don't you see? It still couldn't have happened.
What do you mean? Someone came through the window, hit Mr. Seaton, and escaped the same way.
But it couldn't have happened that way. Look, the windows are locked. Both of them on the inside. And Harold and I were outside the only door.
The windows are locked?
Dear me. That means Mr. Seaton was alone. Alone in a locked room.
Before we return to the scene of our suspense play, let me describe another scene that might even now be taking place in the handsome cafe of the Hotel Nacional de Cuba in Havana. An American visitor has remarked to his Cuban host what great enjoyment the gay Cuban music and the dancing gives him. Gracefully, the Cuban host returns the compliment, saying, "But your United States makes us a gift that brings great pleasure on many occasions. This superb wine from the choice wine districts of your California, this fine Roma wine. Yes, for a wine to give great enjoyment, it must have greatness of character. And it's this that has spread the fame of Roma wines to other lands. Why otherwise would these countries import Roma wines to be enjoyed as a rare luxury? How fortunate then are you who can enjoy any of the Roma wines, many different delicious wine types, whenever you choose, without additional charge for import duty, with no high shipping costs added to your small cost for Roma wine. Yet here is a quality so high it has won international recognition. Quality coupled with cost so modest that Roma wines are America's largest selling wine. Why not make your own taste test of these good Roma wines and discover for yourself the fine wine qualities acclaimed by wine experts of many lands? I'll spell out the name for you. R-O-M-A. Roma wine. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Virginia Bruce and Alan Jocelyn with George Zucco in the locked room. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
All right, folks, are you all here? There's Miss Iris Lane.
Yes.
Dr. Charles Woodhull.
Yes.
Harold Mills.
Present.
And Mr. Alex Van Houten.
No.
Now let's get down to business. We know some of the facts, but not enough of them. We know that you four were the only people in the house when Mr. Seaton was robbed, outside of the cook, and she was in the kitchen. We know Seaton had the diamond on him when he went into the study, and that someone lifted it before we got here. We haven't located the diamond yet, but we will. Now, this business of the windows being locked, somebody here knows who locked them. One of you hasn't come clean, or all of you.
It's easy to see what you're thinking, Captain Hadley. As we tell it, it looks as though Harold and I did the job. But we didn't, that's all.
That's all. The only door locked and watched before and after. Windows locked before and after. No one hidden in the room before or after. And I don't believe in ghosts, so the thing's impossible. Now, which one of you locked those windows? Mr. Mills?
Well, really, dear me, officer, why would I do the one thing to make it look as if Iris and I had committed this crime?
Yes, you know, Harold's got something there. If the windows hadn't been locked, you'd know someone from outside did it.
Look, I'm trying to be patient with you people. But if Mr. Seaton doesn't die, which he hasn't yet, he'll tell us who did it. So I advise you to come clean now. Dr. Woodhull?
Yes, officer?
You and our friend, Mr. Van Houten here, were, as the young lady puts it, outside when it happened. Maybe you managed to lock the windows afterwards.
How could he? He was too busy helping Mr. Seaton to get anywhere near the windows. And neither did Mr. Van Houten. I'd swear to that.
Well, thank you, dear lady. I did not expect such a kindness.
Pardon, Captain.
Well, Barton?
Nurse has to tell you that Seaton's come to. He's talking.
Talking?
Mm-hmm.
Is he out of his head, or does he make sense?
She says you can ask him some questions if you don't tax him too much.
Well, now we'll get someplace. I think all of you had better come with me.
Here's the captain, miss.
We'll try not to upset him too much, nurse.
Captain, maybe being a suspect, I shouldn't say anything, but if you don't mind, I don't think it's safe to question him.
Safe for who, Doctor?
Nonsense, Woodhull. I want to tell what I can. But Mr. Seaton, I know your condition. I don't think you should invest.
Shut up, Woodhull. I was in the study. I sat down at the desk. I was waiting for Dr. Woodhull. The chair faced the door into the office. I heard Harold and I was talking outside.
Both of them?
Yes. Sound carries pretty well through the door. They were talking some nonsense about what they'd do if they had $1 million.
You heard what we said?
Then I think Harold was proposing or something.
Oh, dear me, Mr. Seaton, I never realized that you...
Well, I could. I was taking my medicine, and then I think, a footstep behind me. I set my glass down and started to get up.
Did you turn around?
I didn't have time. Something smashed down on my head, and that's all I remember.
Then you didn't know who it was?
No. And I don't know how.
What do you mean, how?
Because I had locked the windows, both of them.
You locked the windows?
Yeah. I saw someone put a ladder up. I suppose it was the gardener or somebody. But I didn't want anybody climbing around, so I locked both windows.
You're sure no one was hidden in the room?
Positive.
Captain, I think you've had enough.
Yes, I guess you're right, Doctor. Will you people step outside? I'll be there in a minute.
Come on, Doctor. Harold.
Now, Mr. Seaton, what I want to know is...
Grimmer, don't make him keep talking.
Poor Mr. Seaton, he does look awfully bad.
No. I suppose it's proper to feel pity for even Francis Seaton.
Look, Mr. Van Houten, you've made several remarks like that. Maybe you've got your reasons, but I don't think it would sound so good to the police.
Well, believe me, dear lady, my distaste for Mr. Seaton is purely objective.
It's terribly perplexing, isn't it? Now that Mr. Seaton's confirmed us on the locked windows, I can't see how the police are going to prove anything.
Look, let's not kid ourselves. We're all supposed to be nice, civilized people. But one of the four of us is a thug. A thug who beat a defenseless man over the head and took that diamond.
Dear me, as I see it, that's just the point. It proves that none of us could have done it.
Well, if Mr. Seaton's story proves that we couldn't, it proves 100 times more that no one else could.
Well, Captain, is there anything more we can do?
Yes. You'll all be searched again for the diamond. And none of you are to leave this house until further notice.
Not leave the house?
What about my practice? Surely it requires more evidence than you have to hold us over the supposed disappearance of a diamond.
I'm not holding you because of the diamond. I'm holding you on suspicion of murder. Mr. Seaton is dead.
Can I come in, Iris?
Oh, Dr. Woodhull, what do you want?
I'll only be a minute.
Well, all right.
I hate to disturb you, but I'm really worried.
You are?
Iris, why don't you try to get out of here?
Out of here? Why on earth should
I? Don't you realize you're suspected of murder? You could hide somewhere until this is all being cleaned up.
Are you crazy? Sure, I'm suspected, Doctor, but no more than you. How's it going to look if I suddenly disappear?
Yes, I suppose you're right. If I could only keep you out of this. I'm so worried I don't think straight. You have a cigarette, Iris?
Yes, look in that box on the table. Oh, watch out, there's a lamp cord.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was clumsy of me.
Oh, don't let it worry you, it's no heirloom. What's that?
What? What is? Look.
Where did you get that?
The diamond.
Where did you get it?
Well, it was on the floor.
On the floor?
I just didn't the police search in here.
How did it get on the floor?
I suppose it must have been in the lamp. Yes. See? This part lifts out. It must have been an oil lamp.
Apparently. May I have it, please?
The diamond?
It was found here.
What do you want to do with it?
I want it.
Iris, it's not safe.
Sure, I know. Give it to me.
Well.
Thanks.
Are you going to give it to Captain Hadley?
Why?
I don't think it'd be wise. Not yet.
You're not afraid of something, are you?
Iris, suppose they didn't believe you. Suppose they think that you...
Oh, I'll think about it. Dr. Woodhull, will you do me a favor?
Certainly, if I can.
Well, would you meet me here in exactly 10 minutes?
You are coming downstairs.
Oh, sure, but I've got a couple of things to do. I won't be long.
Well, perhaps I should wait.
No, please, you don't have to do that.
Well, all right, but be careful.
Careful?
I mean, don't let anyone know you have the diamond, because...
No, I know. Yes, because whoever killed Seaton for it would kill me, too. I know it will be soon tonight. It has to be. What? Yes, I'll do it as loud as I can, but don't slip because I'm counting on you and...
Iris, are you ready?
Oh, yes, Anne, darling. I'm sorry. I'm really stuck for a couple of days, but we'll make it soon. Sure, dinner and a show. All right, darling. Goodbye.
I didn't mean to barge in.
Oh, that's okay. Let's go downstairs. Where are the others?
You mean Harold and Van Houten? I think I heard them when I came up. Yes, they're in the office. Listen.
Come on, let's go in.
Oh, we wondered if you were coming down, Iris. My, you startled me.
We are not intruding.
Intruding?
It sounded like you were having a little argument.
Oh, no, it wasn't that exactly. You see, we were talking about... Well, dear me, I don't know why I shouldn't tell you. About an engagement ring.
An engagement ring? A Harold...
I didn't want you to know I'm buying one from Mr. Van Houten. I don't have quite enough money, and I won't have for a few days.
Mr. Van Houten sells rings.
Why, I thought that was understood. It's my profession. I deal in diamonds in a small way.
Diamonds? To the police?
Is the word diamond so surprising, sir? Naturally, the police would have to know my business with Mr. Seaton.
Yes, I'm sure they would. It's only...
You're hinting that my apparent dislike for the late Mr. Seaton, Doctor. Well, I hated him. He was a cheat and a fraud. I cheated me.
Doesn't sound like Mr. Seaton.
My dear young lady, there are 100 men in Amsterdam who would be glad to know that he suffered. But as you know, such dislike was not the motive for his murder.
Well, really, now, there's no need to be huffy, Mr. Van Houten. Well, dear me, we all know what the motive was. I guess it was motive enough for any one of us.
Yes. Look, let's face it. One of us killed Seaton, that's true, but three of us didn't. And yet we're all suspected. I think if the four of us let down our hair, maybe we can figure this thing out.
Iris, don't...
I think that sounds very reasonable. If Iris needs advice or help...
Maybe I do with that. I've found the diamond.
Dear me, found it.
Found it? Where?
In my room. Dr. Woodhull accidentally knocked over a lamp. It was inside.
And where is it now?
I brought it with me. Here in my purse.
Then the police do not know, huh?
So here I am, stuck with this thing, and I don't know what to do about it.
Oh, dear. Iris, I'm really ashamed. I don't know how to tell you.
Ashamed of what?
Well, I couldn't tell the police. At least I thought I shouldn't. You see, Mr. Seaton told me in confidence. But now that we've agreed to be frank and honest...
What are you driving at?
I don't know why Mr. Seaton was killed. Maybe none of us will ever know that. But it wasn't because of the diamond. I knew that all along. You see, that isn't the real diamond at all.
Preposterous. You expect us to believe that... Miss Lane, let me see that diamond, please.
Sure, you're the expert in the crowd. Take a look. But I'll hold on to it, though.
I don't care what Mr. Van Houten says. Mr. Seaton told me it was a replica he brought home. I don't know why.
This is ridiculous. Why would anyone want to plant a false diamond in Iris's room?
What about it, Mr. Van Houten?
It's incredible.
What?
Well, even without my glass, I can see that this is false. There are no planes of cleavage. A very shoddy piece of work.
Phony? I don't get it. Why was he killed then?
Well, you see how I've been racking my brains. Here, Mr. Van Houten, maybe we'd better put it in the safe.
Yeah? I might as well keep it. You'll have to give it to the captain anyway.
Yes, I suppose we'd better tell him. Dear me, he'll be terribly distressed, I'm afraid.
No, I hate to admit it, but this is beginning to get me down, Harold. I feel jumpy and sort of sick.
Oh, it's probably my fault. I should have told you.
Well, not just about the diamond. Everything. The locked windows. The way he looked before he died.
Iris, do you feel bad? You look as if you might...
I'm sorry. I hate to be so silly. I do feel sort of shaky. Maybe if I lie down. Would you help me into the study?
Here, Iris, let me. Open the door, please, Doctor.
On the couch, Iris?
Yes, please. I'll lie down right here. Oh, Dr. Woodhull, do you have something that I could take for this headache? I feel really sick.
Why, yes, if you think you need it. Is there a glass? I have something here.
Well, here's a glass, Doctor.
This is a mild sedative, Iris. Now to the water.
Here, Doctor. Here's the seltzer bottle.
Oh, that'll do it. Now drink this down, Iris.
Set it right there. I'll drink it. I just want to close my eyes for a minute. And will you switch out the lights when you go out? And maybe you should lock the door.
Yes, of course. We'll call you for dinner. Try to sleep.
Poor girl. She's very calm.
Who is it?
Oh, so you are awake, eh?
Van Houten.
Where's the diamond?
Diamond?
Give it to me. Well?
But you said it was false.
We are not so easily fooled. We know what goes on.
We? Who do you mean?
Never mind. Give me the diamond.
And if I don't?
You know what will happen if you don't. Hey, who's there? What are you doing?
Oh, Van Houten, what is it? What's happened? Who is it? Turn on the lights. Harold.
Well, I seem to have arrived just in time.
Harold, you hit him.
No, he's only knocked out. How are you feeling?
Why, much better.
Oh, you didn't take your medicine.
No, I didn't.
Oh, dear me. I was afraid you were too smart for that. Iris, I think you and I should have a serious talk. You don't mind if I lock the door?
Oh, would it make any difference?
Very little, I admit. Now, Iris, just how much do you know?
About what?
Oh, come, come. There's no need for you to be reticent. I shall have to kill you in any case.
Oh, but you can't do that.
And who will stop me? Dr. Woodhull? No, Iris. He'll be very busy for a little while. The cook has become quite ill.
You poisoned.
No, it's nothing much. She'll recover. Tell me just how much do you know?
I know about the seltzer bottle. That's how you knocked out Seaton.
Oh, that's very good. You're so clever. Dear me, if I had more time, I'd be inclined not to kill you, but it's late and I sailed with the diamond at midnight. I'm signed on as a steward on a freighter bound for Argentina. So you see, it's really time that makes this unpleasantness necessary.
You know, Harold, they'll find me before midnight.
Ah, but they will find with you Mr. Van Houten. Poor Van Houten, he'll be very confused. You know, I actually persuaded him that you and Dr. Woodhull were the culprits. That's why he came here to get the diamond.
And now you're going to frame him with my murder. You're a pretty smart boy, aren't you?
Oh, thank you, my dear. They'll probably suspect me, too, after they find out I've gone. Tell me, how did you guess about the seltzer bottle?
The condemned woman ate a hearty breakfast. Okay, I'll talk. Well, I knew it must have been the seltzer bottle when I realized it was one of those kinds you filled yourself with a capsule to make the bubbles. But what did you put in it?
A concoction known as a Mickey Finn. But it felt so much like a blow on the head that even Seaton confirmed my little story.
I knew whoever did it would try the same thing on me to get the diamond. You were the one who got me the seltzer for my medicine tonight. But I suppose you saw it coming.
Your little trap. Yes, I'm afraid I did. Dear me, we're just too smart for each other, aren't we? Mm-hmm.
And you hit Seaton over the head when I was phoning for a doctor just to make it look good, right?
Yes, of course. Oh, I wish Seaton hadn't locked those windows.
Maybe you think I don't.
Well, Iris.
Well?
I really hate to do this, Iris. Look, Iris, I'll give you a choice.
Choice of what?
I have here a fairly efficient gun, but it's noisy and it's messy, too. I don't like to use it, but if I have to...
What else?
Or you could drink what I put for you in the glass from the seltzer bottle. It would be much easier for you. It's practically tasteless. After you drink it, you won't mind what else is necessary.
What? I suppose...
Yes, that's right. Pick it up. Pick it up. Now, drink it. Quickly.
All right. Here goes.
Why, you...
Nice timing, Captain Hadley. The glass wasn't a bad signal.
It was nice timing on your part, Miss Lane. Throwing yourself on the floor. You hadn't figured on the gun.
No, I hadn't. Is Van Houten coming around, Doctor?
Yes, he'll be all right.
Okay. Come along, Harold.
Oh, this is such a shame. Iris, before I go, I'd like to tell you how sorry I am.
Sorry?
Yes, about that proposal. Even if it was an alibi, I almost meant it. Dear me, it looks now as though I shall never marry.
Yes, dear me, it certainly does.
And so closes The Locked Room, starring Virginia Bruce and Alan Jocelyn, with George Zucco. Tonight's tale of suspense.
Mr. Jocelyn appeared by courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Before we tell you about next week's stars and story, Roma Wine, sponsor of these weekly suspense dramas, brings you one of tonight's stars, Miss Virginia Bruce, with a message of real importance. Miss Bruce.
Somewhere the other day, I came across a small news item. It mentioned that the men and women of our armed forces, most of whose pay averages very little more than $50 a month, have subscribed the huge total of $250 million worth of United States war bonds. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need a testimonial to the worth of subscribing to the Fourth War Loan, which is now on, I think this news item supplies it. If the men and women who are fighting this war have that kind of faith in the future of our country, how can we have less? This is the time when our armed forces are making ready for the final extra effort which will bring us victory. They need your extra support from extra purchases of war bonds. For the Fourth War Loan, one extra $100 war bond, please.
Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will bring you two distinguished actresses, Miss Ida Lupino and Miss Agnes Moorhead. Don't forget then, next Thursday, for Ida Lupino and Agnes Moorhead in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wine. R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you can find more from the show you heard today and thousands of others at RelicRadio.com. And also donate through the site if you'd like to support Relic Radio. You can find more information about that by visiting donate.RelicRadio.com. Thanks for your support and for joining me today. Be back soon with more.